somebody, one person can do the motions. This is the one with the awake, arise, or sing a new song of joy and celebration. A new day has come, bring praise to the Son of God, of God. Okay, so we'll sing it through three times, okay? So with lots of enthusiasm. Awake, arise, oh, sing a new song of joy and celebration. A new day has come, sing praise to the Son of God, of God. Standing for one more if you're able to. If you need to sit, you may do that too, but 102, to God be the glory, 102. You don't have words for, but I think most people know this song. It's This Is the Day. This is the day that the Lord has made. It's an echo song, and since we're not split half and half, but it looks like we have about half men and half women, what we're going to do is the women are going to start with This Is the Day, and the men are going to echo This Is the Day, and then when we get to the chorus, we all sing together and clap your hands. So here we go, ladies. This is the day. you, and what a wonderful day it is today. It was beautiful, the sun was shining so brightly, it was such a great day outside. Next song I'd like to do is Praise Him, Praise Him. It's number 100 in your hymnal. Praise Him, Praise Him. Let's sing with lots of praise. Number 402, Christian, Let Your Burning Light. 402.
Thank you. A very good evening to each of you. Some of you may have been here the entire week. Some of you may be here for the very first time. This could be what we call a sad night, but it's not. We're in the ninth inning of the baseball game, and we're already winning. The bases have been loaded, and we have been clearing the bases all week long because Pastor Bob has been hitting home run after home run after home run. So tonight, if this is your first night, you are in for a very special treat. If you've been here the entire week, I don't know how your brim is even full. Your brim should be overflowing. It has been marvelous. It has been wonderful. I don't want him to leave, but I know he must go on to other adventures, and we bless him in doing so. So I know he doesn't want this, and we're going to encourage him by doing so. But make some noise and give Pastor Bob a round of applause because he has been renewing us. Amen, and amen, and amen. Thank you, and thank you, and thank you. We cannot say thank you enough. I do have a confession to make, though. I had a cup of coffee today. Now, calm down. It's okay. I only had it because of the caffeine headache from withdrawal. The only reason. Otherwise, I would be totally good to go. But sometimes you need that little cup of coffee to get rid of the headache. You know what I'm talking about. All right. Does anyone have any joys or concerns they'd like to share tonight? We've kind of been going straight into prayer, but I'd encourage you, maybe you have a testimony of how God's been moving this week. I know that would encourage Pastor Bob. I know in my own life, just the very fact of saying encouraging words to others, live your day like that. And it's amazing how happy you are by giving away joy to others. It just fills your cup even more and more. So you'll notice as you came in, the kids were busy writing encouraging words to each of you, welcoming you here tonight. So that's our Wacky Wednesday kids. And they were so blessed to be able to welcome you here tonight. And we're glad you're here. Anyone want to share anything that God's been doing in your life this week?
Yeah, I'd just like to raise up a concern. I got an email from Marcus Gamachi, who's one of the brothers in Nigeria. And he shared that this week there has been a lot of violence again. 10 people lost their lives, and one of the EYN churches were burned down to the ground again. And so it's just such a volatile situation. So if we could continue to uplift them, and you know their needs are great for water and for wells and things. Just the people are really desperate at this point in time. So I just like to lift them up for their safety and God's hand over all of them.
Thank you. Yes. And what's amazing, and I pray it's true for each of us, despite that persecution, they continue praising the Lord. They continue finding joy in the Lord despite the persecution. And man, do I pray that can be the type of people we are as well.
Okay. I'd like prayer for Dave Martin. He's in the hospital right now, so maybe lift him up.
I shared with several people two nights ago about a young man that I did an intervention on that's struggling with a heroin addiction. And when I got home last night after church, I found out he went to Teen Challenge. His name's Cody. Let's pray for him.
Cody? Cody?
If we can all pray for the Gutierrez family. Their dad, Francisco's been in Mexico for about a year or so, and we want him to come home soon.
For all those that have been praying for my brother, we got to see him yesterday. He's my brother Gail, and I should say that, I guess. And there is a small improvement that doctors say. I'm not a doctor, but it's looking up. Thanks for your prayers. Keep them up because it's going to be a long turn. They said it's going to be at least a 6-month stand for him to get back to normal. So thanks for your prayers.
I got a card from a friend in Germany. Usually when I'm in contact with anyone in Germany, they let me know and tell me to say hello to the folks at Little Swatara. All these years, they were here twice as the brass choir, and you were good hosts, and they enjoyed it and appreciated it always. Thank you and greetings.
Just want to send a message from Curtis. He says, thank you for all the cards and prayers. Keep them coming. And if you're brave enough, I am lining people up that are want to go down and visit him. You will need to send them a card, give them your name, your address that's on your driver's license, and your birth date. It all has to match up when you go in. I am lining up a couple people that want to go down and visit him. So that's all I can say. Just keep praying and continue. And I'm also getting calls from other people outside the church. And I've also had some conversations with people this week, and I thank you for your encouragement.
My aunt Dorothy Blank passed away. Praise God, she had a long, long time suffering with Lou Gehrig's disease. So her memorial will be this Tuesday. It'll be a real celebration of her life because she did suffer.
I just want to ask that you keep Christine Bayshore in your prayers. Gary talked to his dad this morning, and she was up and moving around a little bit, but her white blood cell count is very low, and they're watching her very closely, make sure she does not have an infection from the operation. So keep on praying, and if anyone has a chance to get in and visit her, she would love that as well. Thank you.
Lord, we are just overwhelmed with your love. We are overwhelmed with your presence within our lives as we have journeyed through Spiritual Renewal Week, knowing that you have journeyed with us. You have been so present in our lives. You have stirred us. You have moved us. You have challenged us in so many ways, and our lives are different. Our lives are transformed, and we know that these renewal services don't end tonight. They go on through the rest of our lives as everything we've learned, we put into action. And we just center tonight. We know prayer is our topic tonight and forgiveness, and we know how difficult that can be. But Lord, we're calling upon your great name, the one who has taught us how to pray, to be able to transition through those moments where we might find conflict and need to forgive. But Lord, tonight we know many among us are looking for safety. Many are looking for healing. Many are looking for direction. And Lord, we just want to lift up our EYN brothers and sisters. You know those that have lost their lives. You know the attacks that are going on. But Lord, we just pray peace in your son's most powerful name over that entire region of Nigeria, Lord, that you would protect them, you would guard them. But Lord, as they go through this persecution, Lord, you are being glorified. They are continuing to witness for you. And we just praise you and thank you that they can do that amidst this. But Lord, do offer a shelter to them, guard them, Lord, and just help them to continue to know your presence in a mighty, powerful way. We do think of Dave tonight, Lord, and we ask your touch upon him, and we think of Cody and ask your touch upon him as well. And Lord, you know Francisco's heart, the Gutierrez's heart right now, Lord, and the loss they feel with Francisco in Mexico, and we just pray you would reunite them very soon, Lord, that Francisco could come home. And we just lift up that family and their friends, Lord, that are just grieving that loss of someone they've come so close to be with. We lift up Galen tonight, Lord. We thank you for the progress that is being made, but we know there's a long road of recovery ahead. So we just pray, Lord, your powerful touch upon Galen, and just be with John and his other siblings as well, and just give them strength and encouragement, but just allow your touch to be upon Galen tonight. And we think of others tonight that are suffering, and think of Christine, and think of Curtis, and think of others on that you know their name, Lord, and I just pray that you would just bless them and just allow them to just feel your presence, Lord, whatever they're going through, the situations they face, Lord, offer them healing, offer them guidance, offer them all that they need, for we know that you're a God that gives us every provision that we could possibly need. And Father, we thank you again for gathering us here tonight. We know you have great plans in store for us. We know you have the message we need to hear through Pastor Bob tonight. And we just pray again that you would allow us to let every distraction be set aside, and we would continue to just focus on every word. And we would leave this place, leave this week being renewed, being transformed, and being ready to go into action, to share your love, to share your forgiveness with others as you have shared with us in such a mighty, powerful way. So we give this service to you. We offer it to you. And we say, Lord, have your way. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
If you're able, please rise and join in singing "When We Walk with the Lord," 544.
Thank you. children? Yeah, there are. Come on up. Yeah, and have a seat down here. That's right. Let me get my Bible here. All right. We've had great children participation here through the week. It's been wonderful. Thanks for coming to our services. And looks like we're growing every night here. Now we have more tonight than we did last night. All right, let's see if we can review. Can you think a little bit about what was the story on Sunday morning? Can you remember back that far? It had to do with some colored balls. And what was it? What was the story about? Can you remember? Yeah, is that right? It was about Jesus. We should love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and our neighbor as ourself was the yellow one, and the red ball was ourselves, right? Okay. And then what was on Sunday night? Can you remember another story? Yeah. Go ahead. Can you remember? Yeah, it was a little bit tricky. That was Sunday morning with the balls. Yeah, and they kept getting all confused, didn't they? Do you remember another story? What about the coloring book? Remember that one? That we need to follow what God tells us to do. And then there was the one with the water, wasn't that? That kept on coming, and the more the Holy Spirit fills us, the more we can share with others. And then last night was God is faithful through all the seasons, remember? Now, tonight is a different story, obviously. I've got another one. So let me bring this out to you, and then you can see what it is. I'll put this little table here, and I'll bring this out like this. Now, this is a glass, right? And can you see there's something in it?
Milk?
No.
Ice cream?
No.
Sugar.
That was last night. Yeah. Sugar? Okay. Well, I need a volunteer. All right, I'll tell you what. Now, what do you think this is?
Sugar.
You think it's sugar? I'll tell you what. Could you just lick your finger, okay? Now, put it in there and taste it. Salt. Yeah. Okay, it's salt. Yeah, thanks. You can sit down. Well, sorry about that. So we have a glass full of salt. Let me just put it there, and what I'll do is get some more salt. We'll just fill it to the top here, a little bit like this. Now, tonight we're talking about forgiveness and what happens when we forgive others. So we'll just put a little bit more salt in like that, keep it to the top like that. Now, when you do something wrong and you hurt somebody's feelings, what happens sometimes? What does the other person do? What do they do? They'd be sad, and when you're sad, what happens? Yeah, well, that's right. Sometimes when you're really sad, you cry. Well, when you cry, have you ever tasted your tears? And what do they taste like? Salt, that's right, just kind of like this salt. So sometimes when we're real sorrowful, we cry. But the wonderful news about the Bible is this. There's a scripture in Psalm that says this, in Psalm 126. It says, in 126:5, it says, "May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy." Now, what does that mean? Well, sometimes the Lord can help us get over our sorrows and our tears when we ask Jesus to come into our lives and help our sorrows. So this is a little canister like this. You see, there's nothing really in it, just like that. But there's a cross on it, isn't it? So this represents Jesus. And Jesus surrounds us with his love, just like he's going to surround this salt. Now, what did the Bible say? When those that sow in tears will what? Reap in joy, right? So when we turn our lives over to the Lord, he takes that glass of salt, and what do you think is going to happen? What do you think might happen? He's going to turn the salt into what? Something. Well, not quite, but almost. What is it? Candy. All right. That's right. The Lord turns our sorrows into joy when we ask him, first of all, to forgive us, and when we forgive others, then we can be joyful, and he will wipe away all those tears. So I want you to all share in the joy.
Yeah, okay.
Well, and all of you came up here, so you're all going to get some. All right. All right, here you go. Hold out your hand. I'll give you some candy here. These are chocolate, like Hershey-ettes or whatever they are. I don't know. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, maybe put both hands out, then you can get more. Okay. There you go. Now, see, if there were any children that didn't come up for the children's story, they're going to be very sad. Yeah, here you go. Okay. And let's have a prayer. Lord, we thank you for these children that have been coming out for all these services, for the messages that you give us to help us live our lives and to realize that even when we are sorrowful, when we come to you, you can help us restore the joy in our lives. Just like the candy we have in our hands, so you bring sweetness into our lives. Bless these children as they seek to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now you want to tell them what? Okay, follow her.
So as the children are following Connie downstairs, I'd invite you to turn in your hymnals to 362. Help us to help each other.
There's something rather miraculous about the offering. There's something rather touching about giving. I don't know if you've ever noticed it before in your lives, but the more you give, the more you receive. It doesn't make sense because if you give 100%, it seems you get 110% back. And that's the way the Lord works. The more we give away, the more he gives us. And it's not necessarily monetarily. It's not necessarily by blessings, but it's by this incredible joy we experience by simply giving. That word sacrifice can mean so much to us. And we know this week you have sacrificed your time to be here, to be renewed. And for that, we thank you. But as we move forward, consider what else is the Lord calling you to sacrifice that might be beneficial to others. It might be words that flow from your lips. It might be that note of encouragement to put in a mailbox. Whatever it may be the Lord is calling you to, give generously. Would you pray with me? Lord, we are just overwhelmed by the way you give us so much when we sacrificially give to you. And Lord, we know that we simply want to be obedient. We simply want to surrender to what it is you call us to give. And Lord, it may be just surrendering our lives. It may be surrendering a portion of our monetary gain. It may be giving words away. But whatever it is, Lord, I pray that you would help us to do so sacrificially and abundantly. For we know you are a loving God, a forgiving God, and we do these things in your precious name. Amen. Once again, I invite you to turn to your Bible apps, to open your Bibles in the pew in front of you, or the Bible you brought tonight, to Matthew chapter 6. And what I'd like us to do tonight is read verse 1 together, and then I'll continue reading verses 5 through 15. So if you have your Bibles, you also can follow along on the screen. Matthew 6, verse 1, we'll read together, and then I'll continue with 5 through 15. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And in verse 5, continuing to verse 15. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Would you say our Lord's Prayer with me? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Well, it's good to be with you again this evening. Seems like the week has gone by so quickly, and it's been a real joy for me to be here among you, for your response as well, and praise the Lord for, I think, about 8 people that came forward during invitations for special prayer, for rededication of their lives for Christ, and we have one more opportunity tonight. Before I get into the sermon, I also want to say thanks to you as a little Swatara Church for your work in the Dominican Republic. I work with the Brethren World Mission Board, and we're grateful for the work that you have done there and ongoing work that will continue. Kind of the foundations you laid will continue to be built upon. So thanks so much for your efforts in the Dominican Republic. Well, I've entitled this evening's message, A Pattern for Prayer, A Formula for Forgiveness. I'd like to look at the words of Jesus regarding forgiveness as found in the teachings from the Sermon on the Mount, as recorded in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 5 through 15, that Brother Matt just read to you. This portion of Scripture really presents kind of a pattern for prayer which Jesus proposed to his disciples, and we know it as the Lord's Prayer. Many books have been written about the significance of this prayer. Many sermons have been preached on its principles. In fact, in 2004, I preached a whole series on the Sermon on the Mount, and it was 10 weeks. So there's a lot I could say about the Sermon on the Mount and the Lord's Prayer, but I'm not going to do all that tonight. You'd have to stay here pretty long. I just want to focus on one part of that prayer tonight, just one part of it, and that is found in verse 12. When Jesus prayed, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Because I believe this prayer of Jesus is not just a pattern for prayer, it's also a formula for forgiveness. Now, some Christians, you know, will pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I actually prefer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. It really doesn't matter whether you use debts, debtors, wrongs, sins, or whatever. The Greek word really is ophelima, which literally means wrongs, the wrongs that have been committed against us, the wrongs that we have done and have been done against us. Now, the reason I'm singling out this particular part of the Lord's Prayer is because of all the parts and parcels of this prayer, there is only one phrase in that prayer that Jesus chose to elaborate upon, to explain, to underscore, to be sure we understood exactly what he meant when he prayed, forgive us our wrongs as we forgive those who have wronged us. You see, immediately after that prayer, Jesus taught us, he says this in verses 14 and 15. Jesus said, if you forgive others, then your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And here's the cruncher. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. Now, up to this point in the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught us how to pray, it was rather straightforward, rather unconditional. Hallowed be God's name, God's kingdom come, his will be done, provide for us our daily bread. But this one phrase about forgiveness is the only part of the Lord's Prayer that is conditional. Jesus is telling us that God's willingness to forgive us of our wrongs is conditioned upon our willingness to forgive those who have wronged us. You see, our prayers for our forgiveness will be powerless if we fail to forgive others who have done us dirty. What Jesus is talking about here is forgiving our adversaries, forgiving our foes, forgiving our enemies. And this is the crucial part of what Jesus means when he talks about being forgiven by God. And Jesus is not just kindly requesting us to forgive us our foes. He's unequivocally requiring it as a prerequisite for us to receive God's forgiveness into our lives. And so we, along with the disciples, may petition Jesus and say, teach us to pray. But first off, we need to know how to forgive others who have wronged us. And so in the preceding chapter of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, there are many prayers that are raised up in praise and adoration, intercession and supplication, confession and contrition, thanksgiving and blessing. But how many prayers have you prayed on behalf of your enemies, either on an individual basis or a national or international scope? For instance, I heard many prayers praying for the annihilation of Saddam Hussein before the Iraq War, or for Osama bin Laden, obviously very evil men. But seldom, if ever, did I hear Christians pray for their salvation. I'm sure there were many prayers in the first Christians who would have been tempted to pray for the destruction and damnation of that man who was bent on the demise of the followers of Jesus named Saul. But praise God, Saul the sinner became Paul the saint. And I'm convinced someone's prayers were heard. You see, if we lose the hope of the gospel that we proclaim that has the power unto salvation, then we've diffused the dimension of our faith that believes in transformation and conversion of individuals and our world, no matter how evil they have been or how badly we may have been wronged. I fear that the plea of Jesus to love our enemies and specifically pray for those who persecute us goes mostly unheeded and falls on deaf ears. Of all the things that you pray for, of all the people that you lift up to God in prayer, do you pray for your enemies or for those dirty, rotten scoundrels of our society? You know, there are always people out there who want to make enemies for us. Rome burned and Nero blamed Christians. The Reichstag burned and Hitler blamed the Jews. The Twin Towers collapsed and Americans blamed the Muslims. Our national health care system is a mess and Republicans blame Democrats and Democrats blame Republicans. Adam and Eve were banished from the Garden of Eden and Adam blamed Eve and Eve blamed the serpent. How easy it is to play the blame game and create enemies out of whole groups of people for the actions of a few. Do you remember the accounts of Richard Nixon who actually had an enemies list? Seems a bit absurd. Now, maybe you haven't gone that far to actually make a list of the people you don't like or people who don't like you, but probably most of us have some people that we just don't care for. Or we don't like to be around for whatever reason. Maybe even hate people who've wronged us, people who've set themselves against us for whatever reason. I heard of a man who was 100 years old one time, and he was asked what was the secret for his longevity. And he said, "I have no enemies." "How is that?" he was asked. He said, "Well, I outlived them all." We all have been hurt by somebody, probably, along life's way. You know, whether it was an insult, an injury, a critical word, a condescending attitude. Have you prayed for that person who you felt had done you wrong or persecuted you or maybe even abused you in some way? I think the time has come and long past for us as individuals and as a nation to stop trying for retaliation against enemies and work toward reconciliation instead. We need much more diplomacy and a lot less demagoguery from our national leaders. The time has come, and I think has real past for us to hear and heed the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 12. Paul said, "Be patient in suffering. Persevere and pray. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them." I don't know if you've seen this little bumper sticker, but it says, when Jesus said, "Love your enemies," I think he probably meant, don't kill them. Well, Paul went on to say in Romans 12, "Do not repay evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. And so far as depends on you, live peaceably with all." So if your enemies are hungry, Paul says, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's not just some liberal line. That's the biblical mandate. Now, we talked about Nigeria, and they have had so much trouble. The EYN church has just been under severe persecution by Boko Haram. And most of you know that most of those 200 girls from the Chibok school were brethren girls. And they've suffered so greatly. Several years ago, about 20 Nigerian brethren leaders spoke at the Lidditz Church of the Brethren. And did you know, as you've talked about this, that the Church of the Brethren in Nigeria is growing exponentially? We're at about 125,000 here in America. They are over a million right now in Nigeria and growing, despite persecution, despite the fact that this week they had one of their church buildings burned down, despite the fact they've had many leaders killed, many people displaced, yet the church is growing. Probably what Tertullian said is true. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. The more the church is persecuted, the more it grows. Our Nigerian brothers and sisters shared about tensions and terror in their country, which many Christians have experienced by Muslim radicals. And a few years ago, tensions ran exceptionally high. Christian church buildings were burned to the ground by Muslims, including Church of the Brethren buildings. Many Christians were victimized. Some were killed in these Muslim rampages. And some Christian youth in Nigeria had had enough. And so they took the streets in retaliation. What they and other Christians endured, they thought had been enough. And so these Christian youth, as an act of revenge, burned two Muslim mosques. And when the Nigerian brethren leaders learned of the burning of these two mosques, they went to the Muslim community and apologized for these acts committed by Christian youth. And then our Nigerian brothers said they decided that this retaliation is not the way of Christ, who calls us to love our enemies. So more than just an apology, the Nigerian Christians raised the funds and actually rebuilt the Muslim mosques. And you know what resulted from that? Two of the imams, those are the religious leaders, like pastors of the Muslims, two of them were so moved by this unbelievable act of rebuilding their mosques that they became Christians. And other Muslims followed their example. Oh, the power of love, the power of forgiveness, the way of the cross. I met an Iranian in Bloomington, Indiana the other year. He was an American citizen and a professor at a university in Ohio. We talked about our backgrounds, and I said I was a pastor. He said he grew up Muslim but was converting to Christianity. And this is what he said. I have looked at my native Muslim faith and all the other religions of the world that I've studied, and it is Christianity and Christianity alone which is the hope for the world, because there is no other religion that has grace and forgiveness at its core, and that is what our world so desperately needs. That's true. Now, coming back to the text of the Lord's Prayer pertaining to forgiveness, the question is, can we really pray this prayer of our Lord with power if we fail to practice forgiveness for those who've wronged us? I have a feeling that we often pray that circumstances and others will be changed as a result of our prayers. But sometimes prayer changes us, especially if our enemies list becomes our prayer list. Who are your enemies? Is it a former friend or a nasty neighbor who betrayed you or hurt you deeply, or that you've harbored some hatred toward and it's just eaten away your soul? Maybe it's someone you despise or disdain. Maybe it's a political personage or groups of people or certain segments of our society. Maybe your enemy's a relative, a parent, a child, brother, or sister. I've seen plenty of it. Now, most of you have heard of Corrie ten Boom, who lived in Holland during World War II, caught by the Nazis for hiding Jews in her home. And she and her sister, Betsy, were sent to Ravensbrück, one of those nightmare concentration camps where Betsy suffered greatly and eventually died. And soon after the war, Corrie came from Holland into defeated Germany with a message that God forgives all who want forgiveness. She loved to say, when we confess our sins, God casts them into the deepest ocean and they're gone forever. One day, she was speaking in a church building in Munich, and following her message, a man came toward her, and all of a sudden, she recognized this man. He was one of the SS guards at Ravensbrück. She would never forget his face. He didn't recognize her, of course. She was just one of thousands who passed before him into that living hell. And now he stood in front of her, his hand thrust out, a fine message, Fräulein. How good it is to know, as you say, that all of our sins are at the bottom of the sea. And Corey writes that her blood just seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk. He said, I was a guard there. But since that time, I've become a Christian. And I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there. But I would like to hear it from your lips as well. Fräulein, once again his hand came out. Will you forgive me? And Corey writes, and I stood there. I, whose sins every day had to be forgiven, and I could not. Betsy died in that place. Could he erase her slow and terrible death by simply for the asking? And Corey said, I stood there in silence for seconds that seemed to be hours. And in those moments of silence, she remembered the words of Jesus about words of forgiveness and how he would help her to forgive too. And she said, and suddenly there was a current that started my shoulder and raced down my arm and sprang into our joined hands. And this healing warmth seemed to flood my soul, bringing tears to my eyes, and she said, I forgive you, brother, with all my heart. I forgive you. And I want to challenge you this evening to free yourself from maybe harboring any hatreds you may have in your life, for bonds of brokenness into the freedom of forgiveness, to forgive, genuinely forgive all your enemies and those who have done you wrong, because I think you're going to feel a huge burden lifted. The other year, about 2 years ago, I was preaching at revival services out in New Paris, Indiana. I preached on the topic of forgiveness that night, and at the invitation, one lady came front, and she said, I have been harboring hatred toward this relative for years, and she said, I want to be free from it. The next night she came and she said, I have lived a glorious day today. She says, I feel like I've had a burden lifted off of me because I came to the place that I was willing to forgive this person who I harbored such animosity toward for years. And just as Jesus prayed from the cross for his enemies, so we too need to pray, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. That's the prayer that you and I need to pray, because I don't believe, as Jesus said, that we will ever experience God's forgiveness in its totality until we are willing to forgive. Jesus said it very plainly. If you aren't willing to forgive, neither will my Father in heaven forgive you. And I think a lot of people are walking around with a lot of guilt and a lot of hurt in their lives because they have not come to the place that they are willing to forgive others. And so they can't experience God's forgiveness in their lives. Jesus didn't just teach about forgiveness. He practiced it, not only by willing to go to the cross, but praying for his enemies forgiven as well. The Bible says that Jesus could have called 10,000 angels to destroy his enemies and set him free. But he didn't do that. He chose the way of non-resistant love, and he's challenging us to do the same. As I said last night, Paul said the way of the cross seems ludicrous to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. If there is someone in your life that you need to forgive, if there is someone in your life where you have a brokenness in a relationship, don't let it go one more day. Because I feel that once you are willing to forgive others, you will experience in a new way God's forgiveness in your own life. And that's the challenge tonight. That's the invitation tonight, to come just as you are, wherever you are, whatever your need may be, just come without one plea. This is the invitation night. If you need special prayer, or if you need to forgive someone, or you just need to feel God flowing through you anew, come and we'll pray with you as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 516, Just As I Am Without One Plea. Well, praise the Lord for our time together this week. Thank you for your faithfulness and attendance, your prayers. and trust that this week, as Brother Matt said, will the renewal just beginning in your life and in this congregation. I thought there's no better way for us to close our service tonight than to pray the Lord's Prayer. However, I thought we'd do it in a little different way. And I don't know if you've ever done it this way or not, but I thought we will sing the Lord's Prayer. Have you ever sung the Lord's Prayer? All right. I know you're good singers. I think we'll try it. Can I have an F? Just give me an F on the piano.